Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
W8FU. The early bird gets the coffee, it sounds like. Boy, are you up early and on the road. Holy cow. Good morning, W8RCY.
You're connected to CMN Network.
I am quite a bit early. Hope that's not going to screw us up. I was hoping to connect with Dakota on the way in. Just going to try to drag my feet here for a few. We'll see how it goes. Yes. The cobwebs in my brain are still waking up, but I do remember you had to reconnect with Dakota about something, but yeah, I was just, you know, surprised, because I'm just sitting here in silence and chillaxing, and I'm not even watching the news or anything right now. I'm just listening to the winds howl, and so far no trees have come down in the area, no power issues, the ceiling is staying dry. Yeah, so far we've checked all the boxes, and looks like we survived another bit of storm damage of variety of kind, you know, rain, snow, power lines, wind, all that stuff. So, yeah, knock on wood, we're okay for the moment on a Monday morning. Well, it's no fun living, watching that spot. It's going to take some time before you gain any confidence. Did they get it patched up, I'm assuming, then? As of the actual breakage in the ceiling and stuff like that, no. And when I looked at it this morning, there is some dark spots inside the deepness of the hole. So moisture is still getting in, but when I went to bed last night, I put the bucket down and refilled, in case anything chipped or flaked, because even though the size of the hole is like 5x7, 8x10, there's the yellowing of the drywall or ceiling plaster that makes it a bigger area. So if you look at the overall picture, it's probably about 18 by 24 that's damaged, but nothing else has fallen. Just up in the area where the big splotch came down, you can see some darkness. And I touched it, and there's a little bit of dampness there. So with what happened last night, but nothing else major has happened. And the door wall itself has been patched for well over a year, and that has stayed dry. So, I was talking to Dakota about it. Yeah, the water's got to come out somewhere if they fix the door wall part. It's now where the ceiling and the wall meet, above the door wall, where the problem is.
I can't believe it's been this long, and they haven't got anybody by there. When the hell do they plan on getting somebody over there to fix it?
Well, the damage happened on the Friday night, the first Friday night, Saturday morning of the month. And Monday and Tuesday, they had crews out here working on my floor. but they were down towards the center of the hallway there, the elevators and stuff like that, and they're working out towards the end. I think there's maybe two more apartments before they get to mine, but with the way the weather's been, they have not been back. I will talk to management this morning and see what the progress report is. I don't know if they got to wait for better weather or something, because it's kind of windy on the balcony to be up there working, and I know they have cherry pickers and things like that out here. And like I said, for the most part, we're staying dry, and that's what's most important. I don't have to worry about, you know, too much of anything.
Well, the fact that you say there's more water up there, even if it didn't come out the hole, that indicates the problem is still there wherever it is. So, hopefully they'll get out. It just seems like two different crews. You know, it seems like there's the guys that would do the leak, and then there's the guys that would do the drywall repair. But I don't know, maybe they're both, maybe they're just jack of all trades. Have them come out and try to figure out where the leak is and caulk it up or something. I don't know. I'd get a progress report in the morning. Say, you know, you really need to get somebody out here. So, bump yourself up the list. I'm sure it'll get done.
I may not have mentioned this before, but the whole facade elevation of this side of the building, the way it faces, everybody up on the 8th and 9th floor have problems. And I understand that the Solberg building next door, which is about 5 years newer than this building is, they've got problems over there too. So it's basically an overall problems with the way the buildings were constructed, the way the buildings are faced. You know, I mean, we're, like I've said many a times before, it could be a beautiful summer day, and I can open up the door wall, I can open up the bedroom window, and this place would still get blown apart because the winds come in from the southwest. And as you watch radar, a lot of the storms come in from the southwest, and it just hits the building straight on. And after 50 years, this building is so saturated with water that something's got to give, and overall picture is, yeah, that's what's happening. They have professional contractors working on the outside, and then we have our maintenance crew that will come in and patch the ceilings, the drywalls, you know, stuff like that. So the inside's not going to get done until they know they got the outside buttoned up, basically, is how it works.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't expect them to fix it before they fix the leak. Find and fix leave. Okay, so now that explained a lot. So they got a pro crew working on the outside. That makes sense to me. And then the local guys will do the drywall repair. That makes sense. And then they don't want to do it until after the repair. So, but I don't care which way you're facing. I don't care, you know what. I mean, you should be watertight, right? So they got to figure out where that's compromised and get that fixed. Else it'll be falling down again, because earlier you were telling me they were going to fix it, and I didn't hear anywhere where it was a drywall, but I didn't hear anywhere where they're going to fix the leak. And I'm like, man, if they don't fix the leak, it's just going to come down again. But that all makes sense. So, all right, well, you're probably mostly waiting on the outside crew. That's probably the ones that are taking the holding it up. Oh, well, it'll get fixed. 638. Do we have an Anthony or a Dakota yet?
You sure do, K-E-8-R-U-H. But I'm about to pump some gas. I just heard you guys chatting after I turned the radio on. So I will hop back in just a moment.
Good morning, Anthony. I mean, I've been dealing with these issues so long, Sean, we just laugh. I mean, the building is old, like I said, I'm not the only one. that has the problem. And there are problems on the north side that faces out towards your way, but they don't get it as bad as this side that faces to the south and west as we do here. And it's all across the entire 8th and 9th floor, so one apartment at a time, so on and so forth, unless something crazy happens. I remember my second year here, they put up a whole new air conditioning system, and the air conditioning buckled the roof, and two apartments on the 9th floor were completely destroyed. And there's more to the story, but so that happened. And when they fixed that, they fixed the entire roof of the building, the whole tower, both hallways, my hallway and the short hallway, everything was replaced. And it seems like ever since they fixed the roof from that air conditioning unit that collapsed in the center of it, or near the center of it by the elevators, took out some apartments, we've had these problems.
Yeah, crazy stuff. I had a leak, didn't know about until it compromised my drywall or my plaster. And I had to tear the whole roof off and have it redone and wood repaired and new roof and all that stuff. This was a couple years back. And that was quite an ordeal. So, but got that resolved. Just cost some bucks, man. I'll tell you what, nobody to do it for me. Let's see here. Which way am I going in? I'm taking 16 Mile Road, but at some point I got to head north. Probably Garfield. Maybe I'll go to Big Apple and then head north on Garfield.
I'm back, gentlemen.
Jump on in. I'll take it after you.
I heard you guys chatting about weather and your unfortunate weather-related issues, Donald, but I don't know if you guys are tracking this storm up north right now. It has become quite a doozy. I was up there Saturday and made the very, very wise decision to come home Saturday instead of Sunday, and they are getting quite the blizzard right now. I've seen in some areas a little further south there's already an inch of ice that has fallen on the Grayling to Gaylord area. It is hopefully not a repeat of last year's ice storm.
Before the other networks got shut down on the other band, we used to talk to a guy up in Charlevoix, and I went through the storm of last year, and a little bit I saw on the news last night before I went to bed, the Charlevoix area, top of the mitten and stuff like that, and the eastern part of the UP were going to get hammered. Now, I'm already aware that Marquette was hammered in recent weeks, and I have not really heard from anybody up there that I've known for quite some time, and I am a little concerned, but there's survivalists up there, and, I haven't heard of any, tragedies or anything like that, but, yeah, you're absolutely right. They're getting hammered up there. And didn't John AADOD go up there, too? Sean, over to you.
Yeah, John sent some pictures yesterday or the day before over in the Discord, and I think Murphy was talking about how nice it was down in Florida, and Wally's down in Florida this week, and he sent a picture of the terrace where it was, cocktails on the in the evening out on the by the pool. John sent a picture of out the window of his car traveling up there. It was crazy. It looked like a winter snowstorm then. So, yeah, they got something coming, that's for sure. And I saw here this morning, I asked, you know, I asked the LXA, I said, what's the, you know, weather? And it it said right now it's 58, it says, with today's high will be 58 and a low of something brutally low. I can't remember what it was. I thought, oh, so this is as good as it gets. We're plummeting here, so. But I don't know. I didn't hear like a forecast, but that was what I deduced from that this is as warm as it's going to be. It's just dropping all day. Anthony?
Yeah, I think it's actually dropped since I got in the car. It's we got quite the weather pattern happening here. It was, I know I read this morning that some of the local municipalities up north and the sheriffs are deeming roads impassable. So that's quite the treat. But yeah, I was planning on staying up until today and coming home this afternoon, and made it a day trip instead of a long weekend, because it was like, we may not get out till Wednesday. So yeah, those guys up there are in for it, that's for sure. We had a 60... almost 70 degree day yesterday.
The craziest Michigan storm that I can recall in my lifetime is that 1969. My sister was attending Northern Michigan University up in Marquette, and I was only about 13 years of age at the time, 12 maybe, not 13 just quite yet. And my parents and myself, we went up there to bring my sister home from school for the year, Memorial weekend, end of May, 1969. Get up there, it's a four-day trip. We're starting to leave and we heard there was snow. Matter of fact, we saw snow up there, and that was, you know, me being such a young kid, I didn't understand snow being up there at that time of the year. But anyhow, we get about 30 miles outside of Marquette, and we get stopped by the state police, and troopers are asking, where are you guys headed? My father said, well, we're heading back to St. Clair Shores, Michigan, and one trooper asked the other one, and he says, well, you've never heard of that, where's that at? And the other trooper says, oh, that's up by Port Huron. And my dad laughed, and he says, no, that's St. Clair. St. Clair Shores is like 10 miles or so outside north of Detroit. And he said, well, either way you're going, you're not going to be going anywhere, because between here and the bridge, it's all snowed in. And this was in at the end of May, and we ended up staying up there for 2 days more. We had to go back to the hotel where myself and my family were staying at, and wait 2 more days before we can just get back to the bridge. 1969, Memorial Weekend. Never forget it. Craziest snow I ever saw in my life.
God darn it, Big Apple Bagels is closed. I didn't know they were closed on Mondays. Are you kidding me? Let's see. Monday closed. Are you kidding me? No, I guess they're not. Oh, let's find something else. But, you know, like last year. God, I hope they don't have an ice storm like last year. You know, is it one of these ice storms? Is it just laying down some crap, or is it, like, coating the wires and freezing? Because if it's one of them ones where it's coating everything in the air and then freezing, you know, where you get the wires all snapping and all that stuff, that just wreaks havoc on the radio system.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've seen some photos, mostly in the region between Grayling and Gaylord, that there is icing on trees, a fair amount of icing on trees, some downed trees, things like that. Now, I think north of Gaylord, it's all snow, but it's not good, that's for sure.
Hey, yeah.
Good morning, Dakota. I'll let you jump in, then I'll take it after you. Then it'll be Sean, Anthony, and so on and so forth. W-8-R-C-Y.
Go ahead.
Morning, guys. Just jumping in here. Got gas on my way here, so I don't know what the time is, but I'll pick it up and jump in the next round.
Okey-dokey. Yeah, like I said, I've lost a lot of touch with people up north in the UP, and I remember the stuff that Charlevoix Bob on that other network, we used to talk all the time about that storm from last year, and it sounds like this year's storm is more heavy snow than it was the ice. So hopefully, like I said, those people up there, regardless of the radio networks, they talk on, everybody's just safe and, you know, hope for the best. Sean, go ahead.
Well, good morning, Dakota. When it comes back around, when you shoot me your ETA, I assume you grab the radio. I'm way ahead of schedule, though, today, but I'm dragging my feet. And, yeah, I mean, if it doesn't happen down here, it's not a big concern for us down this way, but, yeah, it really wreaks havoc. And then the problem is I've got some work that I absolutely have to have done on one of my towers. It's been waiting to get it done, and it's like it just has to get done. And if they get pulled off in some sort of another ice storm, I won't see them for months. And I can't have that, so... Anyhow, that's my concern. It's a little selfish, you know, for one of my locations, but I have been in the pipe to get this work done for a very long time, and if something like that happens, it's gonna throw a wrench in it. Plus, you know, just the lack of communications up there. Although they kept everything running pretty damn good. It's just they had the guys running. The tower crews were just running like chickens with their head cut off trying to keep roads cleared so that they could fuel generators, and you know, it was a long time getting all the power restored, so that was most of the problem. They did have some problem with ice shearing off the you know, the upper limbs on the tower coming down and destroying things below. You know, we put in ice bridges to protect cabling and other various things, but there's always something. There was one where, you know, ice fell off and just literally crushed the shelter. Crazy what this stuff can do. But anyhow, yeah, Dakota, when it comes back around, give me your itinerant. Anthony?
Well, I'm walking into the building here, guys, but I'm looking, what would it be, northwest of me at, I'm at Stevenson and Maple, and looks like there's some transformers that were just blowing up maybe because of all this wind. So I will, I'll catch up with you guys in a little bit. Once I get settled in, I'll try to get back on the radio. This is KE8RUH. I wrote a good morning if I don't catch up with you. Over to you, Dakota.
Take it easy, Anthony. Yeah, we ran on generator power Starlink Saturday for 15 hours. Power went out at 2:42 and came back. God, I don't even remember what time it came back. Almost 7, I think. So... wind's wicked. I'm hoping it doesn't happen again while I'm gone today, or else I'm going to run back home and pull the generator out. But, Sean, I'm looking at 732 here. I don't know what's going on 53, but it's got me detoured the plank before I even get onto 53.
Go ahead, Sean. I'll skip through YouTube and coordinate.
All right. All right. Well, that's probably going to cause us to miss out here first thing. I'll take a look when I get in, see what kind of schedule I got, if I can do something similar to the other day where I just text you and say, pop the door. So just leave whatever you got on the passenger seat. Did you decide on whether we're going to do a wholesale change or we're just going to drop the power on that second radio?
Connected to CMN Network.
Sorry, Donald. No, that frequency is unusable in this area. I don't know what the hell it is, but it, I mean, within probably 5-mile radius, it's just staticky noise. So we're going to have to change frequency too. I did bring the duplex there.
All right. You tried both of the other ones, and they're both fine?
I did try the channel 3, but I tried the, what was it, the 125, 442-125. That one was fine. I pulled up the scope. There's just something right on 445, and then a little bit further down, but not on 442.
All right, then. Well, we'll switch everything over to 442. You know, that's a little different. That's a plus. You know, that's a plus. So, you know, low's got to go in the receiver now. And high's got to go to the receiver, and low goes to the transmitter. So, all right, very good. I'll get it from you at some point and try to knock that out quickly. All right, that's enough on that. Donald?
No apology necessary, Dakota. Getting that straightened out is more important than anything I have to say. And as of Wednesday, I'll be down in Florida, flying out Tuesday night. I've got a race in Sebring, Florida. 12-hour race on Saturday. I should be home Sunday afternoon by the time we get everything finished up, because the race should end about 11 o'clock-ish at night. It is, like I say, a 12-hour, not a 24, by the time we get done with paperwork processing and everything. And we get everybody back on the planes, and we head home. It'll be Sunday afternoon. So I'll be around today and tomorrow, and hopefully we'll be able to fly out of here. And not like when we were coming back from the second trip to Daytona, where we got a little bit discombobulated on the schedule. So that's about it for my week. And like I say, hopefully this place will stay dry while I'm gone, and we'll go from there. Sean, back to you.
Well, it'd be nice to go to Florida for a little bit. Although we're starting to come out of the really bad stuff here, so not as nice as it would have been a few weeks back. But I remember hearing news that they were just as bad as us, or pretty damn close. And I'm sure it would have been better when we were absolutely subarctic, you know, freezing here. I'm sure it would have been better, but still very disappointed if I was in Florida and it was 30 degrees. Like what? But I'm sure there's none of that now. Anywho, yeah, just turning on the Hall Road here at Garfield. I'm going to go get a coffee and see how long that is and everything, and then I'll see where I'm at. If I'm anywhere near, I can hang. If not, we'll just make some sort of arrangement. I'll try to get out this morning at some point.
I am ready for the weather to break. This, it's 56 this morning, but tornado winds and raining. I guess I'm not upset about that, but, you know, give me some, like, consistent 60-degree weather, and I'll be all right and cut this wind. But, yeah, Sean, like I said, it's not a big deal. If it wasn't Monday, I would just run down to the shop, but Mondays are chaos for me. I got a bunch of people moving this morning, and I got to set up a bunch of equipment, or else I would just run down there. But I'm burning down there, so it's 31 minutes, probably going to be too late, but, you know, we'll figure it out. It's not, I don't think it's pressing. I think Phil and I are the only ones that were actually using it, and I think Wyatt is interested in using it, but he's got a base station to where he can get in Romeo, so we're all right.
W-A-R-C-Y. I'm taking a look. I just put it on this weekend, looking at the weather in Sebring, Florida. And for the week, it's going to be pretty much dry. This morning right now, it's 69 degrees, cloudy. A little bit of rain over towards the East Coast, West Palm area, but looking good for the moment. So, yeah, I'm just kind of haven't taken a peek ahead of time. We're facing, and it doesn't look like we're going to have any rain for the race at all on Saturday. Matter of fact, it's supposed to be 82 and sunny on race day. So that's it here. I am going to check out because I'm going to get my day started. I got to jump in the shower. I got chiropractor stuff to do. I got to pack. I got to secure the place. You know, Joe's going to take some stuff out of here while I'm gone in case these crews do come into my apartment while I'm away. So that's what I'll be doing today and tomorrow and before I leave tomorrow night, fly out late tomorrow night. Gentlemen, have a good week. Be careful out there. Stay safe. All the best. And we'll probably talk to you one more time tomorrow. W8RCY.
Well, you can always take your node with you. Anyhow, have fun.
Be nice being in Florida for a couple of days, I guess. So, Murph just came back. He and his bride were down there for a very punctuated winter. They usually go down right after Christmas and then stay until right about now. Usually, I think, a little after Easter. So, just after Christmas, they come back just after Easter, but they had to leave much later, and they have to come back much earlier, so they only had a few weeks down there, basically. He's got a neighbor, got the Medal of Honor awarded to him for a pretty amazing situation in Vietnam, and he's got the story in the Slack, or I mean in the Discord. Picture of the guy, but took a bunch of, he saved a bunch of his crew, he had to go secure, I forget what he had to do, he had to go secure a hill or something like that under heavy enemy fire, or his guys were pinned down, and he went up there and got shot several times to get this hill secured, saved, 80 guys from his unit or something like that. Pretty amazing, a real hero.
Those stories are always crazy when I hear them, especially the people that get shot multiple times, especially when they're getting shot at by AK-47. I cannot fathom.
Yeah, I'm just jump in real quick here and add to that. Yeah, you read about it more now because of the availability of social media, but. World War II veterans, like my father was, I remember growing up, my father never talked about the war, what he experienced or anything like that, and wasn't until after he passed and he was qualified to be interned at Arlington National Cemetery did I learn more about my father's war days. But, yeah, Sean, it's, those kind of stories make you think twice and, have a lot of respect for our war heroes, veterans, and those who did not make it home for sure. Okay, I'm out of here. Again, all the best to everybody this week, W8RCY.
Yeah, my dad, same way. He's a World War II vet. He didn't talk about a lot. He did talk about, certain things. There were, but not a lot. And there was a guy across the street. He was on a landing, one of the landing crafts. He's a radio man. I didn't even know this. He was really good friends with my wife's husband. I'm my wife's husband. God. My father-in-law, my wife's dad, they were really good friends. And I come to find out much after her dad was gone and after he was, pretty ill and all that stuff, I found out he was a radio operator on one of the LSTs in D-Day. And he had some old radio equipment there and everything, and he was interested in ham radio. And it's like, are you kidding me? All these years? Hold on, I got to get my coffee, but I'll listen.
You snapped me out of my trance when you said my wife's husband. I was half asleep. I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it is. I don't have that situation where I run into a lot of people that are maybe sitting in ham radio or have equipment or are undercover hams, but I've had several instances where I'm like, yeah, I'm a radio nerd, you know, I play amateur radio. Been doing it for a few years now. Met a lot of cool people, and a lot of them share, you know, same industry that I do. And more often than not, they know a ham or a family member was a ham, and they'll throw a call sign at me or something. So it's pretty broad. I think there's a lot of them out there, a lot of us out there. But it is cool, hearing new things like that, or like, no way, you know someone, or you're a ham, whatever. I don't know. I think it's neat.
Oh, man. They call themselves baristas, but they have no idea the language. I mean, they know vente and grande and all these silly words for small, medium, and large, but you ask them to make the cappuccino dry, and they have no idea what you're talking about. Some barista you are. But I digress. It is kind of cool. I remember the first time that ever happened to me, I was chatting with an electrician from one of the plants, and this was back, you know, in the 80s, and before I had, or maybe I had just gotten my kick. I can't remember if I just got it or I was just working on getting it, and he's like, yeah, I'm an extra. I'm like, really? You know, it was like, now it's no big deal. You know, I don't, you know, every time Dick and Harry's an extra. Test 1-2.
I got you, Sean. I heard you. I'm just listening. K-8, are you right?
All right. Must have lost
the
Dakota. Hopefully, just a phone call.
Yeah, you guys just doubled. Yeah, Dakota, you did drop.
That's my fault. I forgot that you dropped UMD or Central Michigan. I switched over to Mount Clemens. It was crickets after I transmitted, so I did not hear anything when he came back.
No, that all should be reconnected. I just tried UMD as well, and it's not even coming up, so I don't know if we've lost power or what's going on there, but... Yeah, it looks like UMP is down.
Well, that explains it, so my fault.
How's the progress? Where are you at now?
Well, I shaved 4 minutes off, so I'm 15 minutes out. I'm at 27 in plank.
All right, yeah, I'm just going to head in then. I'll see if I can leave it on the passenger seat, if I can get out and about.
All right, yeah, no big deal. I'll be on the passenger seat, the duplexer and the receive radio are sitting right here. I thought about just bringing the whole kit and caboodle, but I figured that'd be too much, but I don't know. I think the previous transmit radio is fine now, especially since it's just going to turn into a receive radio. This radio does the same thing that radio does, then we got an RF issue, and I don't know how to solve that.
Well, I don't know what's going on.
I didn't move that time. I stayed on Richmond.
Yeah, I'm on Richmond, too. I don't know if I'm making it or not, but I'm just pulling into my parking spot, so we got some problems here this morning.
I'm getting you guys, but I'm just on the phone app, so I don't know what's going on either. K-8-R-U-H.
Well, you're making it in, Sean. Andy, thanks for being the third party. That's all yours, because I'm confused. But, all right, Sean, let me know if you get out. I can unlock the truck. But, like I said, no rush. Not a pressing matter.
We'll catch you later.
I know you do.
Dakota, you try UMPL. I just rebooted it. See if it's there.
At ADS. Yeah, it's back.
Did you copy that, Dakota? You can try UMP. I rebooted it. It's appears to be there now. Give me the SWR.
I double with you. Yeah, I'm transmitting on it right now.
All righty. Not sure what happened, but I just rebooted that server, so I guess I fixed it.
The old turn it off and turn it back on trick.
I went in and rebooted the server.
Are those hosted VMs?
Doesn't sound like my internet's working all that great this morning. Keep me at SWR.
Are you on a node? NADDF.
Fast one, dude. Looks like UMP's back.
You're connected to CNN Network.
Yes, I rebooted Mount Clemens. KBSWR.
Alright, I'm going to go see if I can figure out what's wrong with Warren.
KJL. KCO, WARG. Good morning, Tom. Been able to talk to you now that I found the microphone.
Morning, Dave, and say that last part again. I did not get it.
Oh, I was just saying now that I've been able to find the microphone here amongst the crappy here in the bathroom. Anyways, getting in the office, boys.
Sterling Heights to get a couple jobs done.
Yeah, we're headed to stay out in Auburn Hills for our work today here. Well, I've been working a little bit on my code plugs and I'm still getting more questions now. I still got to enter in like all the other various event groups here for the team in here. I'm tired here this morning. I was going to ask you, I'm struggling now to think what the heck they were regarding DMR here, but let's see if I can think of there.
Well, did you pull those code plugs off of the ARPSC website? There's two of them there for the DM32.
Yeah, I've got both of those, and I've got to look at them better, but it's not really making too much sense here as far as how to set up my scan list and all that here, so the problems aren't that bad. Although I've kind of figured out, though, but let me ask you this here. For your talkers, I read somewhere too that it was on the Radio ID website here that they were cautioning people not to mix up their, how you describe it, your flavors, I guess, you would put it for whether or not the talk group is like Brandmeister or TGIF or etc. So I still need better idea how to do the strategy and how to separate those as far as those recordings. That way when I start building it, I kind of get it going in the direction I want to do it, rather than have a whole bunch of rearranging to do afterwards.
I'd have to take a look and see what you're doing in regards to it. Just for Central Michigan DMR, you got the talk group 51 and 52. And of course, event 1, 2, 3, and 4 kind of thing. And But if you want to get into, you know, if you want to get into the other talk groups, you got to find a site that actually allows you to change the talk group. But you got to show me what you got, and then we can figure it out from there.
Yeah, maybe I'll email you or something like that. But let me ask you this. Okay, let's go with like your email. Now the listing on the website, there are I guess, three different sub networks. I guess maybe you could that there are east, west, and north. I'd probably only be considered right now as east right now. So would you put all of those into one zone? As far as that goes, all of the
yeah, you have the repeaters in the east area, you got repeaters in the north, repeaters in the west. You know, it all depends on where you're driving and what you're doing. I mean, I got all of them in there. And, I mean, I have one zone that's just called Talk Group 51, or Statewide 1. And it's got all the sites in it. But I got Roam online, so it picks whatever tower has the strongest signal and transmits on it.
Oh, okay.
For DMR, you know, so the FBI UHF is Romeo, Richmond, and Warren, and then they're interlinked and linked with Central Michigan, which has, you know, Mount Clemens, Detroit, and then all the way up 75. So those are all UHF. The roaming is only for digital, for DMR.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, let's step to maybe non-Seaman network. Now, if I go to the, let's start off with this. If I go to the Brandmeister website and look at the map of any repeaters locally, is that current, I guess, current and accurate, or do you happen to find others that pop up that aren't listed?
Brandmeister is pretty accurate. Like I said, the talk group settings are going to be different compared to TGIF and all that. Like I said, if you're going into the Central Michigan network, MI5, DMR, you got the receive and the transmit, and you got the, you have the color code and the time slot. So those all have to match. 51 is time slot 1, color code 1. 52 is time slot 1, color code 2. I think that's how it goes. Oh, wait, it's the other way around. Time slot 2, color code 1.
Just thing I was looking at was on the Brandmeister website, when you go to view an individual repeater, for example, I think on the like I got a hover display. I guess it shows that there are there only certain talk groups that each individual repeater will allow? And that's it. Or are there others that can be sought after that aren't listed, I guess? Does that make sense?
Currently connected to CMN Network.
All right, so on Brandmeister, there is a, you got the repeater and, what is it? I think it's a WACMC repeater, something like that. It's over in Hazel Park, Warren area. That one there, you can change, you can go into that one and change the pop group to 91 and get on worldwide. But once you change it, that's what it stays at. The repeaters for Central Michigan MI5 network cannot be changed. You know, she can't go in there and go into the Mount Clemens MI5 DMR repeater and change it from 51 to 91 or anything else like that. You cannot change those ones. But the other repeater sites you can, to the best of my knowledge. I know there's a couple of them out there that you can, but that's about it. But the Central Michigan network, you cannot change out of 51 to a different talk group.
Okay, got that. Yeah, that was very easy for only the six that are listed here. Let me ask you this question then. As far as like etiquette, I'm uncertain, but is it like you go to the national talk group or something and make contact and then move off? Is it something similar to the gentleman's agreement, for example, on making a call on national, you know, two-meter on FM national simplex? They make a call and you move off by gentleman's agreement. Is there anything kind of like that with any talk groups that are kind of stunned upon, they're for contact and then moving off? I think there's some that are like only, I think there's a couple, like, well, the talk group for Michigan, but it'll only last for 10 minutes. Is that kind of similar to that?
If you're talking about changing the talk group on the repeater, that's all depends on the repeater owner, but I think most of them are, they'll revert back to their default after 10 minutes. Then you got to change it again. But for the MI5 network, you know, it's there all the time. You know, it's 51 is 51. You can't change it to anything else. It's Central Michigan MI5 is kind of like a closed DMR group or a closed DMR. And the only people that can change it is the repeater owners or the facilitators for Central Michigan. All the other ones, you know, they're up there, so you can change it and talk, but then it times out and goes back to its regular talk group after 10 minutes. So it all depends on the site.
Well, I wasn't really quite talking about changing it that manner. I was meant like, for example, you and I want to stay in camp for an extended duration, half an hour or something, for example. And we make contact on, I don't know, Michigan, I'm not certain if it's talk by ID number, but we make contact on, for example, Michigan talk group. Should we, by etiquette, kind of make the contact and then move off to another talk group to free up the Michigan one for others, or does that kind of not matter?
I don't think it matters. I mean, you just follow the standard ham etiquette that we all hold dearly as being operators and try not to, you know, violate that kind of thing. I said it all depends on the location and the repeater and stuff and what they allow and what they don't allow kind of thing. But there's a DMR simplex also. I have to dig it up and look at it and find it, you know, where it's like talk group 99 or 999. That's about my extensive knowledge with the DMR. I'm always on MI5, so I haven't been on the Michigan talk group for a while, but I do that at home. I've got a sharp open spot that does that for me. I go and I just key in what talk group I want to go to, and then it goes to Brandmeister and keys me into it.
Okay, that made a little bit of a crash. I had a little time when I got back from Ohio to take a look at I correct in assuming just a generality for the TCIF, I guess you'd call it a network, I'm not sure maybe how you define them even. Are those kind of generally speaking more for people who do like a all-star node that's kind of like not so much wide coverage, it's sort of like a personal hotspot for the TCIF? That's what it kind of sounded like from what I've been reading, that it wasn't used predominantly by like for repeater owners, but more or less people who do something at home.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, now the TGIF has, got, with your Pi Star or your All-Star node, that's how you get into those ones. You bring it into your truck or whatever else and key into it. I believe that's how TGIF goes. I mean, then you got your D-Star, D-Star is ICOM. Then you got your EHC System Fusion, the YSF, C4FM. That one's, through your radio, too. I think TGIF is mostly a Pi Star, All Star links, if I remember correctly.
Okay. W8RE. What else? For some else I didn't make mention about that. Well, it's still early in the morning. Boy, I need some Java here for one time. I am tired still. Anyways, boy, I hope this day one on here for work. I'm already looking forward to hitting pay again. Oh, I know one other question, Tom. Are there any local DMR Mark talk group ID web or repeaters nearby, or is it all strictly Brandmeister?
You'd have to look at repeater book for that. I said the other one I know of for right now is the MI5 Central Michigan DMR network. And there's a couple individual repeater owners that allow you to change the clock groups when you go into their system. I think I think there's one in Warren. I think it's K8WYN or something like that, or KHMC. And then you got the one in Milan. And I can't think of the number. I know it's like 444.100 or something like that. I can't think of what repeater is, who owns it. So that's something else you got to look up. But yeah, you can see the Brandmeister network. You see all the towers. At least you get an idea of what's in there, of what can be changed, what can't be changed. KJO Friday.
Well, it kind of sucked when I went down to Columbus over towards a little more east, about an hour, maybe 2 hours in Columbus, over to Caldwell, but there was really nothing around that I could hear anybody here. Pretty much dead for VHF, which then I didn't really work too well for VHF at all, so there was minor very
repeater book on your from the App Store or Google Play or whatever phone you got. It's pretty decent in regards to frequencies for VHF, UHF, DMR, YSF, and D-Star.
Well, I haven't downloaded the app, but I have used the website there. And like, sometimes it seems like the information doesn't always match up with what I see over like on Grandmaster and such. So, because I still need to find out some more as far as how you can determine, you know, from any given repeater, what sort of system they use. I mean, I don't really see any kind of reference to that. So, Tom, how time the rip is on. You can wrap it up here, but I see heading on into the office very shortly here. So, thanks for 7-3, and have a great morning, Tom. I'll listen on out. W-8-R-I-T.
Sounds good. Enjoy the day. Have fun in this wonderful weather. All right, Dave. 73 for now. KCTPO.
Easy to be one.
Connected to CMN Network.
Today? Oh yeah, that's somewhere up in the upper atmosphere after it ripped from my hand. God, this one is ridiculous.
Yeah, I've been getting blown around too. By the kid's school, I had the road commission was out there in a butt truck fixing the stoplight. Man, what a day to be up in a bucket truck.
Oh, no, thank you. And the other one on Friday. And it was ridiculous. I had to walk the bridge and I was over.
I got a bunch of static there.
Oh, I was saying that windstorm was ridiculous on Friday as well. Coming back from Petoskey, I mean, it was either snow and then it was rain and it was sleet. Wind, and we hit that Zilwaukee Bridge and got blown over.
Oh, yeah, you know, super hot and super cold air mixing. It's not surprising. You know, it's, we've already hit the high for today, and it's just going down to 18.
Oh, yeah, can't wait to see what the weather brings today. Yeah, what is it, 43 right now? It's going to be crazy later. I don't think we're going to get a lot of snow.
Yeah, I woke up and it was 50, so it's just dropping like a rock. And it's going to keep going down.
All makes for a fun day at work, I'll tell you that much.
So we've got all inside work orders today?
Yeah, mostly indoor work right now. Yeah, we won't do anything on this wind outside. And we got to go back up to Petoskey because we got one camera that decided to go funky on me. I changed the password in it, and then I don't know if I fat-fingered it or I didn't go and corrupted it. Now I can't get into it.
I don't love when that happens. And that happens sometimes. You put in a password. Even retype the password, and you gotta go to log in and think, oh, you did the wrong password.
Well, that's what we were doing, is once we found out the password for the cameras, we were changing the password and upgrading the firmware, 95% of them. And one of the last ones I did, I put it in there very slowly, very precisely, and then I confirmed it and put it in again. And now it saved it, took the update, but apparently the password isn't correct if I put in there. And now I can't get into the camera. I can ping it, but, and I know where it's at, but we can't get to it because it's, I don't know, probably about almost a foot of snow where it's at. Can't get a bucket truck in there or a lift to control all the snow melt.
Well, at this rate, that might be tomorrow. I've got seven cameras I'm waiting to put up. I got one of those relink kits, and I've got one of them up, but I've got seven more I gotta find homes for and figure out how to wire them back into the NVR.
Oh, the joy. They're POEs?
Yep, they're all POE, and you got the NVR in the house, and then over in the garage, I've got a relink, so a little four-port switch that I can use, so I've got that hooked up for the garage, so I don't need to run Cat5 from the garage to the house. I can use my point-to-point.
So what, you just want to figure out, you're just trying to figure out where you're going to put them? Is that it? I mean, you got the power there. Got the network there.
Well, it's mostly waiting for better weather. I did the one camera just to get the priority. I wanted something to hit the driveway and, you know, let me know when cars are coming into the driveway. Right. When I'm in the living room, people just surprise me, you know? So, I got that one camera up, but I've got seven more I've got to hang. And do all the wiring and figure out how to get that into the house.
Well, if you got a point-to-point between your house and the garage, you already got the switch in there, it should be an issue.
Yeah, the garage is pretty easy, but the house, I think I'm going to put probably one or maybe two more cameras in the garage, and the rest will be on the house.
Oh, so you're talking about putting them on the house, and you got to fish the Cat 5 down to the NVR.
Yep, and my box that I've got, that I've got a 4x4 little plastic enclosure, and then I got a bunch of glandins that I ran all my, I got all my coax in there, and then the Cat 5 for the point-to-point, and the coax for the internet too, that runs through there, and I think it's getting full, so fitting another seven glands in there is pretty much impossible.
So you already have Cat 5 upstairs, right?
No, I'll be running all new Cat 5. I just got to mount the cameras, figure out how I want to mount them, and then, running and everything, and getting it through the wall.
No, I'm saying you already have network upstairs, right? With a switch or anything like that? Or do you have a network connection upstairs?
I don't have any stairs or attic, so it all has to be on the outside of the house.
Oh, so all the conduit is outside. All right.
Hey, I don't even have conduit. Everything's, not sure what I'm going to do yet. I'm gonna plan that out, but I've got the cameras, that's the hard part.
Well, you can use direct burial Cat 5, and that's outdoor rated, of course, because it's, you know, direct burial. And you can do it that way and then bring it down to wherever you're at, you know, going into the house.
The one in the garage, I mounted it on the soffit, and then I ran the Cat 5 behind the vinyl siding. So I just grabbed the tool to pop this vinyl siding and pull them all off, and just kind of tuck the Cat 5 under there and snap the siding back in, and that worked pretty well. But Hardbarley, they're going to want to do the penetration. Is that what I've got now is getting full.
All right, you got a ranch, you got a colonial.
It's a beer ranch, but it's a manufactured home, so that's even weirder. I don't have real sheathing. It's like cardboard with a foil face on it.
It's a good time for some learning.
Sorry, did I accidentally get into your conversation? My bad. I was just trying to get a radio check on the school bus. Sorry about that.
Yeah, young man, welcome. No problem. There was an ongoing conversation, so did kind of bust into that. But, yeah, generally radio checks are frowned upon. This is just a point of, you know, interest. You might want to just throw your call out, and if you really truly are working on something and you want to just say, you know, hey, this is KE8FLY, anybody around? Somebody comes back and say, yeah, I'm working on my antenna. I wanted to see if it was working or something like that. So, but generally, just, you know, rando radio checks are kind of frowned upon. Just kind of give you a heads up. All right, I'm going to let the guys get back to it. Let's see, who is out there? Lance, I think. Yeah, Lance, go ahead.
Yep. That was a pretty fly call, sir, though. Go ahead, Tom. Let's see, you'll be at what?
KJO. What about, can you get into your attic, Lance? You know, is there a walkable area up there that you can go up to the soffit and then up in the attic and then down a wall somewhere?
Negative, I have no attic. It's all, I don't know what it would be if there's space there, but, you know, there's no attic space for me. I have no way to access that, so everything's going to be running on the outside.
Okay. Well, then your best bet, yeah, is mounting them on the corners going up through the soffit, you know, through the joist up there, and running it that way. If you come down, you said that your access is already full. What type of pipe are you going into the house? And what is it, a NEMA box that you got out there?
Remember what I did. I think it's 1.5 inches or maybe 2 inches PVC. And then I mounted like a 4x4 steel enclosure. I kind of need to go bigger because I've got some lightning arresters that I want to get in a box that I bought a box for, and it didn't work out because it was too small. So, and, maybe I'll revisit that idea.
Well, I can dig around and see if I have any spare Cat 5 direct burial. It might help you out a little bit there. Because that plenum, it does not like the cold, it does not like weather. And the only other thing I could think of is putting up a NEMA box next to the one that you already got through there, drill another hole, and then put a piece of PVC with a drop on it at the top, you know, so water doesn't get in it, and then run your cables into that and down and then into the house. And that's the only thought I have on it.
Yeah, I got the kit that came with outdoor Cat 5, so should be okay with the Cat 5. I was not sure on length if I might come up short, but we'll see. Yeah, I did buy like a box that they used for bringing in stuff for like telcos and stuff, but it was a little bit too small. There's a bigger version of it. Might look at that bigger version.
you get a chance, you know, take a picture of the where it's all going in at, and maybe I can come up with some ideas. So I got to get into this job now. So I'll say 73 for now, and you're probably close to work. So 73 from KJL. I'll talk to you soon.
Does anybody know what's for lunch today?
I have a salad.
Well, in my day, they had the lunch menu on the bus, so, you know, when you got on the bus in the morning, you could see what was for lunch.
Man, we didn't know until we showed up whether it was going to be pizza day or gorilla balls.
Well, I thought in your day, you know, whatever you hunted that morning or fished was your lunch. Then you had to walk to school uphill both ways, 10 miles in snow.
We transitioned from the hunter-gatherer school trip to the community, you know, it, somewhere between elementary and junior high, so I no longer have to fight for my food in the morning, so we did have that luxury at least.
All right. Well, I see some wind damage. The neighbor's fence, instead of having a bow, it's completely leaning, half of it, or quarter of it's leaning completely over in the yard now.
I got an email from Brother Mark that we've got to deal with here. It's time sensitive. WFU.
Make Brother Mark happy. WFU. You're not out of the hole yet, Lance.
So you a hole.
Hey, I got one in the fence now.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Well, you didn't have all those antennas on the fence. So we have coverage on the
school bus. I tied my dipole to it, but now it's laying over. Well, it's not her fence. Her house is the one next door. The wooden fence is the house right behind us. She's the one that's kitty corner. So, like, sitting here at my desk, I'm looking right into her house now because the fence is out of the way. I wonder if I should open my blinds up more.
No, just start the video camera.
Just point one right at her house now.
Clear up the Twitch channel. Well, you might have to start telling the neighbors that.
Well, this is, I looked over at my control station, I'm like, why only got one bar? For some reason, I have a 67 RSSI, and I'm on Lapeer. Really? Lapeer?
Is the tower full over again?
I could. For some reason, I'm on my control station down Lapeer.
That'd really cause some damage to have one of those towers fold over, though. You get the invite from Squarespace?
Oh, I saw it in there. I just never clicked it yet.
Yeah, if sure it'd be better to have more than just one person be in control of it.
What are they, how much are they charging a year for a TLD? I didn't know they were doing, I knew you could register TLDs for sites they hosted, but I didn't know they were just doing domain regs for non-stuff they host.
It's going to charge my card $15 at the end of July, so I don't know. I'm guessing that's the year. I'm not sure exactly.
If it's 14, you said 14? If it's 14 or 15, God damn it, there we go. Yeah, here we go. If it's 14 or $15 a year, that's not bad for a TLD then, for a .org or whatever. I think I'm at like 11, but at the volume I'm doing, but gotcha.
Yeah, that's my my donation is paying for the TLD and paying for the keep the state paperwork up to date.
Oh, there you go. Somebody has to get their checkbook out. My dad's checkbook only goes so far.
And, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah, not too bad. I think it's just $20 for the state. Federal's free. But, I think we're supposed to have a bank account, but we don't have that yet.
Well, federal you have to pay when you initially created, but yeah, yearly there isn't. You still do gotta file the 990 card or whatever it is. I gotta do ours here. Or did I do mine this year? Do ours this year?
Yep, I didn't even know I had to do that. I got a mail-in this thing that says I can claim my kid, and I got a mail-in amendment 2 years ago when I messed up some part of my taxes. But anyway, I am about to go underground, so I will say 70.
Have fun at work. Dermitas.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
KPR.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
APR.
connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Says you.
Uh-huh. Man, I'll tell you, I woke up to 58 degrees and came out to my car at 36. We are definitely moving in the wrong direction.
Yeah, we have definitely got some of the most yo-yo weather of any region of the planet, or even universe. yeah, almost hit 70 on Sunday, and it won't even break freezing tomorrow. But then it'll get right back into the 50s, so it's just a brief interruption by Old Man Winter.
Yeah, I got some guys doing some... A lot of outdoor work, doing some electrical for me. They're putting in some transfer switches at my tower sites, and they did two of them recently. Last week they did a couple, and tomorrow they're coming out to do another one. And, oh, man, it's going to be chilly. I mean, it's nothing they can't do in the cold, but it certainly isn't going to be the best day.
Well, the bad part about it is we've already had some warm weather. We've had a pretty fair amount of warm days, relatively speaking, and to then get stuck with this and then have to work outside in the cold, I think that makes it extra brutal. But I've been keeping an eye on the whole Sheetz gas station thing going on. I noticed when they opened the one on Van Dyke that they started out at $2.39 a gallon and stayed there for about a month and a half, then up at the $2.49 for a week or so, then $2.69, and then I think they went to $2.99, and this past week they've been at $3.09. And the Sheetz by me over here has finally got all the concrete in the lot, and I think all the pumps are installed too. So I'm guessing they still have a bunch of work to do on the inside.
Well, 309 is still really good, right? I mean, that's like at least Costco cheap. So they're still not up there competing with your regular corner gas station.
Agreed. I'm curious how long it's going to stay at that price, because I'm assuming at some point they're going to want to make some money. I highly doubt they have some interesting market cornered on budget gasoline or something that they get cheaper than anybody else. So there must be some other strategy involved. And I think the big strategy initially was just getting people to go there. And it was quite packed for a long time, for a couple months there, man. There were literally lines out on into Van Dyke for people trying to get in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can imagine, especially when it was that cheap. But I wonder how much of their 309 prices, just, you know, prices are up everywhere. How much of it's that and how much of it's, you know, just them trying to creep up to, because they're still considerably down. So it'll be interesting to see where they settle. I don't know what their, you know, I'd be curious to see what their prices are in Romulus, where they've actually been, you know, when they've actually been, in business for quite some time. You know, they do have all the conveniences, you know, the drinks and, you know, and foods and foodstuffs and the restaurant. I can't believe that, you know, that's where they're making their money. So, you know, you can't, the gas isn't a loss leader. I guess they're just doing it to get people used to going there, find out all the other cool stuff they got, and then, you know, getting hooked. So we'll see. They're probably going to be able to, well, I don't know. I mean, can they really, you know, do any better than, let's say, BP? You know, BP's got at least as many outlets. I can't imagine BP has less bargaining power than Sheets.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm curious to see how this is all going to pan out. Like, you know, half a year from now, what's the gas price going to be relative to everything else? So, anyway. Yeah, I'm just jumping in to say hi. I got a couple of bills I got to pay, so I'm going to let you go for now and let you pick up the convo with someone else. So, W8FOO from WY8M.
Okie dokie, yeah. I got out a little early because I got to run by one of my stops. They said they got a problem with their tower. I might have to call it in. I got to go see what it is and take some pictures, figure out who I got to call. Ghostbusters. All right, catch you later. WY8M. W8FU. K-E-A-F-L-Y. K-E-H-Y from W-8-F-U.
K-E-A-T-F-M.
What's up, Dave? Holy cow. How's that car got three flats? Holy moly. Both front tires and the driver's side rear. All flat on road specs. That's crazy. Anyhow, what's up, Davian?
Not too much. Just picking up my son from school, and then we're going to all go to the Red Wings game tonight. So, family trip out there. So, should be a good night. Hopefully they win today. Every time I go to the game, they never win. So, just will hoping to break the bad luck streak here tonight.
Yeah, we're getting at that time of the year where losses are important. They're still holding on to a spot in the playoffs, I think, last I looked. So you don't want to let that slip. They're not way up there, but they're holding. And last time I went was, a couple of months ago, I think. Went with my son-in-law and daughter and my son. We all went. It was a good time. Good time had by all. So, they were losing really 4-0. And they ended up, just late in the second period, they got one. And everybody was saying, yeah, well, they were down 4-0. But they did it through the third, man. They pulled within one, and then they got the one, and then won it in overtime. So it was like, couldn't ask for a better game. Come from behind, win in overtime. Good stuff. So hopefully you have an exciting game like that.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. I've seen games like that, so definitely possible. Yeah, we'll see. My son's been bugging me now for a few months to do a game, so we finally settled in on this one. It's going to be weak because I got the Red Wings game today, my wife's birthday on Thursday, my son's birthday on Saturday. So it's going to be... It's going to be a busy week, but at least we'll be doing fun stuff here. So overall, that's always good.
Well, and don't forget, tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day. Can't forget that. Anywho, there was a time where I used to go out pretty religiously on St. Patrick's Day and even would take the 18th off just to cover my bases, but... I'm not that guy anymore. I'm usually asleep by the time people are just getting wound up.
So I'm not sure how much, if anything, you heard, KEATFM, because I accidentally hit the channel button when I was talking. And, so I was not transmitting because it was an out of band, but I have the Utica School Bus channel program to listen to, and yeah, so I was over there.
I think I got it all. You were giving me your itinerant. You said you had a pretty full one with the Red Wing game and the wife's birthday, the son's birthday, and I said, don't forget St. Patrick's Day tomorrow.
Yeah, I was saying I really don't
do the St. Patrick's Day stuff too much. It's it's funny because the kids at work, I call them that because they're in their early 20s, and they all went to Chicago for a St. Patrick's Day, like, pub crawl thing, and they invited me there, and I'm like, there is nothing about that that sounds like fun, to be honest. So I'm like, you guys go have fun. I remember when that stuff used to be fun, but, yeah, I don't get into it anymore.
Yeah, it's funny. While you were probably saying that into that air, I was saying almost the exact same thing. There was a time where I used to be pretty religious about it, and it is actually a high holy day in Ireland, not what we've made of it here. But I used to go pretty regularly here, stay up, and used to even take the 18th off to recover. But nowadays, hell, I'm in bed by the time people are just getting warmed up, so I am definitely not that guy anymore.
Yeah, something about not being able to hear and losing your voice by the end of the night. Yeah, used to be fun, but yeah, I forgot about that, so I'm going to have to see if I have a green dress shirt I can wear when I go into the office, I guess. So play the part a little bit. So what have you been up to? Anything cool lately?
Yeah, I've been trying to get a little bit more involved with ARPSC. The guys here in Macomb County have done a bang-up job. Really, really impressive. Should look into it, check in on it. Got some cool stuff going on. They could use guys like you, your son, stuff like that, your daughter. But playing a little bit with that. Work, of course. Kind of getting toward the, end of my career here, trying to decide when my off-ramp time is. And other than that, pretty boring anymore. Just work, go home, putz a little bit. Now I'm right by my favorite Mediterranean place. They had fire trucks there the other day. It looks like they're no worse for wear, though, so it must have been a false alarm.
Yeah, I'm getting to the point where I feel like I've been cooped up all winter for some reason, and I'm, like, completely ready for this weather to change. I tried to, the other day I had to go drive to Saginaw to visit a customer, and I tried to do the, some POTA over there in the Bay City area, but that was a day that, like, Michigan had all the tornadoes, So I got up there, and then it was just solid rain all the way back home. I thought I was going to get a chance to finally get outside and play with the radios and that, but wasn't to be. So I'm kind of getting antsy to get out and start playing with the radios again and then get the boat out and do some fishing. Winter, for some reason, just seems long.
Yeah, I just missed it. We were out in Muskegon at a conference, and we got out of there on Thursday, and I think all that crap went down, was it Friday? Saturday? We just missed it. So, was glad to not be driving home in that, although we would have been just north of it, the worst of it. We were 96 beehive in it, although I took 69 back because of the junk going on 696. I took 69 and then came down. That worked out real nice. That's a nice drive. It's pretty low stress, you know, it's a lot of wide open spaces, and you know, you go that southern route, and there's a lot of white knuckle parts and potential for angry people. Anyhow, Davian, I am pulling up here at my last stop of the day. I got to get here. I got a tower I've got to inspect. Apparently the wind, they said, broke something loose on it. I think it's just a safety climb wire, but I'll see when I get here. I can see it. I don't see anything dangling in the breeze. But I got to get out here and do an inspection and see figure out who I got to call, whether it's Ghostbusters or someone else. We'll be back in a bit. After yours, W8FU.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
All right, sounds good. Be safe playing around the antennas. Watch for the falling objects. So take it easy. We'll talk to you. KE8TFM.
made up to you.
Connected to CMN Network.
I wanted to check in, WHCMN.
Oh, I know you do, Jeff.
You said, I don't know why I'm not hearing you, but I didn't hear you.
I don't know. All right, I got some other stuff to do in here. Hey, right, anyways.
Where are we checking in? Ain't checking in nowhere. You ain't checking in nowhere. KBSWR.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Through the roof on my little 5-watt handheld. So
I'm planning on doing it, like, right, and there's, like, this little pin inside or something, and just that plain SMA connector, and that, the pin of the coax, or what is it, I think lead twist wire or something, has to, like, yeah, see into that pin or something, and I'm looking at that. I'm using one of my, like, microscopes I use for soldering to see it.
Yeah, you don't want to push any pins through it or anything else like that, because it could, like I said, short it out, ground it out. But what you could do is they have tie wraps at, like, one of the home improvement stores that have little screw holes that you can put drywall screws through. And you just tie wrap it and then screw it to your wall, screw it to the drywall, and hang it that way.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I was, normally I'll tape it to my window. I was talking about, mounting it. I normally tape it to my window. That works, but, that'll be another thing I could, see if I could do. Thank God I have an extra, roll-up antenna I got sent from a user at the East Coast Reflector. His name's John, it's just Dick, WBQGBQ, custom users, so now it's kind of stuck in my head. It's the same, DBJ, too, it's hard to say that, liquid. But yeah, this one sits on my QRZ1, and the range on this antenna is really good, so I'm trying to, my best to fix it. It's been fine, though.
You live and learn. So you're learning. And I'm still learning. I've been a ham since 1998. And I'm still learning new things. I just got in the DMR maybe about a year and a half ago. But before that, I wasn't too familiar with DMR. And now, DMR, I love it.
Yeah, I bet. That's kind of another thing I want to get into. I've been using analog for 2 years now, if you're counting the time where I didn't know anything about ham radio, so 2 years then. I've been telling you guys that, yeah, I've been wanting to get a DMR radio, a DM32. And I was doing some research about that, and I was learning about how all the color codes work and, all, like, the tall groups and stuff. And this stuff is fascinating.
Absolutely. I said I knew, I had a QIT MDUV380. I've had it for a few years, but really didn't know much about it or how to work it. And then Captain Don came around, and Wally and Sean, and they put open DD77 on it and programmed it for me. And then I got the software, loaded it up, and started learning. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty simple. I programmed my own DMR radios. And then I got this Motorola XPR, which uses Motorola software. And WHBD got me set up on that. And then I got the software and the cable and uploaded it. And learned how that went, and I programmed it to my, to my tailoring kind of thing. So you'll pick up on it real fast.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting that radio if I do. It was kind of the same for me. You're talking about analog programming wise. I know how to manually program, not channels, even on this Anytone I suck at programming channels. But I just learned how to use Chirp. I downloaded it on my Raspberry Pi, and that was a challenge itself because I was doing a hard way because I would like to make my life more difficult. I was using Bash, the terminal on it to like use Python coding to download Chirp, and I finally did, and yeah, I learned how to program that. That's Actually, I'm on this channel right now. I'm on a key FBI channel I programmed in on this Anytone. I'm trying to get a programming cable for my HDs. That 2-pin Motorola type, or Kenwood type connector. But, yeah, it's fun to learn all that stuff. And then when you finally get it, it's good to at least let you know it for future use.
Well, I'm telling you right now, you know a lot more about Raspberry Pi than I do. You know, I'm a Windows person, not Linux. So I'm still learning.
Oh, yeah. I used to not be good at electronics at all, or Raspberry Pis in general. Like, I knew the basics, how to hook it up like a normal computer. But ever since I learned how to, about a month ago, I learned how to use some jumper wires I saw in my closet. They make an LED turn on this external board. I fell in love with electronics and stuff. And since I was already licensed, I decided to make up that satellite, that prototype one. Yeah, I fell in love with Linux. That's my favorite operating system or operating software now. Yeah, but they're fun little things. You can do a lot with them, as you probably know. Like the nodes and stuff. I'm pretty sure somebody has a Raspberry Pi repeater. They're using the Raspberry Pi as like the brains of the operation there, which is pretty cool, especially because of how small they are. You can think of fit in your pocket. KF8F2N Friday.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, I have a Raspberry Pi 5 that runs the All-Star Node software, and then I got the little All-Star Node plugged into that. And that was a little bit of trickery. I had it 95%, 98% done, but missed a couple things. But WABD helped me with that and got me on the air. So I have an All-Star node. I have a RF open spot for DMR so I can get on Brandmeister Network. So I am getting there slowly but surely.
Yeah, once you get it, yeah, it's super duper fun, because, yeah, you can do so much stuff with those. I was using it via SSH. That's, I think, I don't know what it stands for, but you just it connects to your Wi-Fi, and you don't even have to use a monitor. You can just use, like, your, any other, like, typical computer, like your Windows, open up the terminal on it, do SSH, your username, my name for my Raspberry Pi is testpi2.local, and you can connect to it remotely. And, yeah, there's a ton of stuff, like what I said, you can do with that. For my satellite, I use it, that prototype one, I use it to as a simulator. So it simulates the bit error rate, like how many, I think it was like, yeah, corrupted information coming back to your ground station, the roll, the pitch of your satellite, and the signal reports and stuff. And it also tells you your CPU temperature remotely, which is pretty cool. But even a Pi 5, I got a Pi 4, so you have an upgrade. I know there's more features, like internet features for that. But yeah, cool stuff.
Right there, you just put a mouthful and know way more than I do about the Raspberry Pi. I more or less built it, put it together, set it, and forget it, and then just sits in my front room. And yeah, it's a Pi 5, and I got a 32-gig chip in it, I think, or maybe even more. But it just sits there, and all it's for is for All-Star.
Yeah, and I mean, that's still really cool. I was kind of wanting to set up a node with it to see how it works out, but I don't have the module for it. I'm trying to get a, it's $10, it's a HC10 packet radio, and I'm using that for my satellite to actually bring it on the air. It's UHF, so I think it's 437 something something, and it'll send out data packets of live telemetry and stuff. No, I bet you if you hooked up that Raspberry Pi, you could probably still use it for something else while it's working on that, both, like, running that script for the All-Star node. Which I need to get an All-Star node number. I've been meaning to do that, register for an All-Star. But, yeah, back over to you.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I just set it and forget it. It just sits in the front room. Eventually, I'll mess with it a little bit more, but I have no intentions currently. I got to step off a minute. I got to get fuel for this meeting so I can go home and not run out of gas. So I'll be back in a minute. KJO.
All right, Roger. Say FCN. I would say standing by.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
This is W8VIJ. W8VIJ.
Anybody monitoring the Flying Bears International Club repeater? This is W8LMC echoing.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
K-8-B-E-B.
Connected to CMN Network.
W-A-D-A-P, K-F-8-S.
K-F-8-S, this is W-A-D-A-P.
Alrighty then. It's a little quiet over the radio. Sounds good over here, though.
Could be because you're desensing. When you're transmitting, you're desensing your receive. I don't know. It isn't like you're using the UB88 or anything. That'd probably be your best guess.
No, you're the same volume as me, so... Either we're both quiet or we're both okay. I don't know.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Well, I don't know. No one else out here to compare it to, so. You sound good. I sound good. Sound good. Fair enough.
Yep, just leave it at that. I just wanted to get this in here in case I ever needed to use it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say you're low. I mean, you're about right. I mean, there's no one else out here, but, I mean, I don't have to turn my volume way up, you know. Well, on your radio you do, because that's the way it is, but I would say you're right in the ballpark on my radio, volume-wise.
All right, I won't touch it then. I'll leave it the way it is.
Yep. check on the other one, W8EAP.
Can you feed us?
KFAAYL.
Currently connected to CMN Network.